It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. On Tuesday, Representative Eric Swalwell, Democrat from California, joined us on the show to talk about the end of the Mueller report. And I asked him what Congress could do to rebuild trust in our political system.
I think what we can do to earn the faith of the people we represent is to scrub our government of dirty maps and dirty money.
Dirty maps. There, Swalwell is talking about partisan gerrymandering, and that's drawing district maps to favor one political party over another.
If people have faith that their representatives come from districts that are drawn by independent commissions who don't have a stake in the outcome, and that the outside unlimited money that pours into our elections will become transparent, I think we can reach consensus on the issues that the American people want us to reach consensus on, and I think you'll have a better, more responsive government.
And those so-called dirty maps were before the Supreme Court this week in two separate cases.
The first case in Maryland has to do with a Democratic gerrymander of the state's congressional map.
That's David Daley, author of the book Rat Why Your Vote Doesn't Count.
They're talking about one specific district, Maryland's 6th, which Democrats essentially turned inside out. It had been a district represented by a Republican for many, many years. And in the 2011 redistricting, Democrats took 170,000 voters and shipped them out of that district, shipped 170,000 new voters in, and that district elected a Democrat that year. And now Maryland has had a 7-1 congressional map ever since.
The Maryland map also went before the Supreme Court last year, but the justices dismissed the case on procedural grounds. The second case before the court this term looks at the entire congressional map for the state of North Carolina.
In North Carolina, it's the other way around. It's the Republicans who gerrymandered that state, and this has to do with the 2016 congressional map that came into play after the previous map had been declared an unconstitutional racial gerrymander. Now, the plaintiffs in this case are saying that the Republicans wrongly used partisan data in order to draw themselves a 10-3 enduring congressional majority in that state.
But this problem extends well beyond Maryland and North Carolina. Gerrymandering lawsuits are pending in at least a dozen states. And last year, The Takeaway spoke with voters in Pennsylvania about partisan gerrymandering in their state.
I look at that map and I think somebody must have been on drugs or something when they drew it. I mean, how can you logically say that makes sense?
Cindy Blair Miller has lived in Downington, Pennsylvania for almost 40 years. She's a Democrat in a district that tends to vote Republican.
Elections are supposed to be free and fair. Whether it's fair in terms that it accurately represents the population and their perspectives. And if you design a congressional map that specifically divides it up so that you focus the district on a particular party, then you're not representing the people accurately. And that doesn't seem fair.
Fairness. It's at the center of the Maryland and North Carolina gerrymandering cases before the Supreme Court this week. And David Daley told me that the makeup of the court, which has become more conservative under Trump, could have a direct effect on how congressional maps are drawn.
Anthony Kennedy, along with the four liberals on the court, had long been considered very interested in trying to find a problem to solve the most extreme partisan gerrymanders in the country. Kennedy then retires after the court punts on those two cases. He's replaced by Brett Kavanaugh, a much more conservative justice who has not in the past shown an interest in these voting rights cases. So all of a sudden, the balance of the court is much different.
Let's talk a little bit about how that new balance of the court could impact what we're hearing coming out of the court. I mean, do we have any idea how the newest justice to the court, Brett Kavanaugh, is likely to vote?
Kavanaugh and John Roberts are clearly the targets of the four liberals here. And Elena Kagan's questioning was clearly bent on trying to show Roberts and Kavanaugh that there was a way forward and that there was a manageable standard to judge the most extreme partisan gerrymanders. Roberts and Gorsuch and Kavanaugh seemed to agree that partisan gerrymandering is a serious and significant problem. But they still seem skeptical that the court has the right tools in front of them to identify and fix them. And Roberts, over time, has long been really skeptical of trying to bring the courts into judging the partisan fairness of maps that are protested by one side or the other. They don't want to invest necessarily the institutional reputation of the court for independence by picking partisan winners and losers. But I think, you know, what the folks who are bringing these cases in all of these states are saying is that there is nobody else except the courts at this point to step in and try to bring fairness, that these maps have become so gerrymandered and so warped that the very essence of democracy is at stake.
What about in the lower courts? I mean, if the Supreme Court is saying, or particularly Justice Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Roberts, you're saying they're hesitant to sort of get very specific on how gerrymandering has been executed, if you will. Have any lower courts found a solution to this?
Nobody has really found a solution. Lower courts around the country have been very interested in this, and also state the Supreme Courts have become very interested. In Pennsylvania in 2018, the state Supreme Court found the congressional map there drawn by Republicans that had given them a 13-5 advantage in a fairly blue state, and that it had locked in that advantage in a really enduring way. And they called that an unconstitutional partisan gerrymander in violation of their state constitution. And they forced a new map to be drawn. They brought in a neutral special master, a professor at Stanford, and he drew a map that in 2018 produced 9 Democrats and 9 Republicans, something fairly in line with the actual partisan breakdown of that state. So certainly it can be done. We can have fair maps. You just usually have to take them out of the hands of the politicians who have a particular self-interest in what the outcomes are.
There are basically Americans who are saying they're concerned that their vote, that they won't be able to vote, or that their vote won't be counted, if you will, or they won't be heard. So how do you take this thing that is supposed to be something that all Americans have access to, one person, one vote, and take it out of the hands of politicians who, as you said, have a deep interest in making sure that people vote one way or another?
I think that's exactly right, and that is the crux of the problem. A lot of states have gone to independent commissions. In California, in Arizona, many other states have asked for citizens to step forward and be part of the map-making process. There is something called the Fair Representation Act that Congressman Don Beyer of Virginia has proposed that would involve kind of moving our single-member system towards a multi-member districts that are represented by more people, larger districts. So there are lots of, you know, clever ways of doing this right now. There are computer algorithms that can show you when a map is so infected with partisan bias as to be, you know, an outlier and way too extreme.
Wait, David, but I want to stop you right there. You just said there are algorithms that can prove this. So I'm trying to understand here the hesitation on the part of at least the conservative judges on the court to assume at this point, a moral responsibility to ensure that Republicans or Democrats or Americans more generally are able to cast their votes fairly. I'm just not sure if they have the technology. Why won't they see this as a moral imperative at this point?
The technology is so clear on this point right now. I mean, in the North Carolina case, you can run computer algorithms that show that the maps that the Republicans there produced are a 0.3 outlier. So if you were to do tens of thousands of maps, you would only find something as bad as what the Republicans came up with, a 10-3 outcome in something like 100 out of, you know, 25,000 outcomes. We can tell that this is not fair, that the problem is convincing these justices that this math is real. In previous cases, Chief Justice Roberts has referred to these computer algorithms and formulas as sociological gobbledygook and said that they rise above his educational background. Well, I mean, he's a Harvard graduate, a Harvard law graduate. I think he's, you know, capable of understanding, you know, basic outlier ratios here.
But isn't the beautiful thing about math that it actually has a finite outcome?
I think that's absolutely right.
Is there any recourse here for something known as disparate impact? These gerrymandering laws and maps are really impacting communities of color, from what I understand. So is that an argument that can move this forward?
There's two separate sets of case law here. There's the racial gerrymandering case law and the partisan gerrymandering case law. And the problem here is that it's all coming together now. In the past, the courts have said that you cannot do a racial gerrymander. And this is what happened exactly in North Carolina. They said, we are doing a partisan gerrymander because the courts had already thrown out their racial gerrymander, when in fact they were using the exact same political data to draw these lines for the partisan gerrymander as they had on the maps that were deemed to be a racial gerrymander. So if the courts can't step forward and find a solution here, what we're going to see are racial gerrymanders masquerading as partisan gerrymanders. These algorithms are so precise, and the amount of information that mapmakers have about us is just so exact that folks can go surgically down one side of a street and back another with a clear understanding of how all of us vote. And as we head towards 2020 and the next redistricting cycle, this problem is only going to get worse if the Supreme Court doesn't step in and find a moral solution to this intense political problem.
I mean, the issue here is that the precision, I believe it was called surgical precision, with which, in the case of North Carolina, these maps were redrawn to disproportionately impact black voters and voters of color. So it's stunning to me that we're still trying to figure out a mathematical equation. Want to move this forward a little bit here, David. We are just a short time away from redistricting for the entire congressional map after this little thing called the 2020 census, which is also experiencing its own controversy, if you will. What's the process like behind that redistricting?
It is different in every state. And what the Republicans understood so intelligently in 2010 and what the Democrats fell asleep on is that in most states, it is state legislatures that draw the lines, sometimes with input from the governor. So Republicans were able to capture in the 2010 election complete control of the redistricting process in states like Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin. And that's why we're in the place we are right now. If you look at all of the cases that are making their way through litigation right now, it all stems from Republicans capturing complete control of this process back in 2010. Democrats have to understand that if they cannot win back key state legislative chambers in these states or win governor's offices that hold veto power over these maps, we will be talking about partisan gerrymandering for a long time to come. And if there's not a positive outcome out of the Supreme Court on these cases, if by some chance they do say that partisan gerrymandering is non-justiciable and beyond the ability of the court to determine, we could be looking at a serious problem of anti-majoritarian rule for another decade.
David Daley is the author of Rat Why Your Vote Doesn't Count. David, thanks again.
A pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.